Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... You know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's always a pleasure. It's like a dream come true for me, and I know it is for you too, isn't it? I hear that from you all the time. You're going to be glad you hung out with us today because Joel Barker is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's in the building, so to speak. Certainly, at least on the line. Joel is a guy that I, and I like telling this story, folks. I'm going to say I actually didn't catch his book when it first came out in hardback, Future Edge. But somewhere around late 1980s, I think, it came out in paperback under the terms Paradigms. I think the Paradigms of Business or something like that. Anyway, I have the paperback. And when I read that book, that was one of the books that changed my life. There are a couple of other books, Megatrends by Nesbitt, The Road Less Traveled by Scott Peck, and a couple of others also changed my life. But this paradigm concept that Joel Barker made, the case he made in his book, really changed my life. And he's a futurist. He's written a number of other books, including the one I'm holding in my hand, his new one, Five Regions of the Future. And he's just a fun guy to be around. He's our good friend. Joel Barker, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jim. How are you today?
Doing great. It's good to have you back.
Thank you. It's always fun to chat about the future.
Well, I know how much you like doing that, and of course, my audience knows how much I love listening to you talking about it. One of the things I know you have on your mind today is our education system. What have you been thinking about that?
Well, I'll tell you what, I've been thinking about it for years. In fact, my wife and I funded a school in Chattanooga to test new theories in education. But there's an article in The Economist magazine, October 20th, that I think is a really important article. In fact, I'm going to send you the Internet connection to it so that your people can look it up on your site and go to it. But it's a paradigm story. People have been saying for years, well, how does Singapore and Canada and Finland and South Korea and Japan always have the people at the top of all these tests? Mm-hmm. And so educators went to do the research and look around, and they couldn't find the answer. And it's paradigm stuff. Because mm-hmm. of their own educational paradigm, mm-hmm. they didn't know where to look. So McKinsey out of Boston, a business consulting group, said, oh, let us look at the data. Let's see if we can't see something.
How could they possibly do this? They're not educators.
Yeah, well, of course. They're out of place. They're outside the box. See? But, of course, what we know is some of the best stuff you see in the box is by getting outside of the box. Mm-hmm. And they found three simple rules that those countries follow. And, by the way, it turns out it's not about how much you spend in net total.
Oh, we already know in the United States that throwing money at education doesn't make it better.
Yeah, you got to throw it at the right places. And here it turns out at the right places. And you will enjoy these, I think. Number one, first rule, get the best teachers.
Right.
For instance, South Korea goes after the top 5% of college graduates to be their teachers.
Mm-hmm.
America goes after the bottom 20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, get the best teachers. Now, here's the second one that's really great. Get the best out of those teachers.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, support them and make their lives effective so that they can, in the same way, make the kids' lives effective, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the third one that I think is, as soon as you say it, you go, duh, but we don't do it. And that is, as soon as the student starts to lag behind, just as soon as that starts, you start helping them. You don't mm-hmm. wait to the end of the year and say, gee, golly, I guess you're going to have to repeat the year because you mm-hmm. didn't get it. They said whether it's Finland, which has shorter days, or whether it's South Korea, which spends a lot less money on their education, those three rules basically get you a very powerful education system. That's the future of education.
I'm going to take the teacher's case for just a minute.
Yep.
I and folks... I place such a high value on teachers. I admire them so much that in every one of my book, in both of my books, I should say, both of my books, Joel, I have identified in each one two teachers by name who made a difference in my life.
Yep.
In the acknowledgement. So I really admire them. I place they don't work. They don't get paid enough for what they do. But if I were taking their case, I would say, how do you expect us to teach your children when we have to help raise them because parents aren't raising these kids?
Yep, and that's part of it. And then the other part of it, how do you expect us to teach these kids if you keep asking us to fill out all these forms?
Exactly.
And do all this other Mickey Mouse little stuff, which we know.
Teachers all over the country are saying, thank you, Joel, thank you, Jim, for saying those things. But, folks, we're going to drop the hammer on them in a minute because there are other issues out there that I think lead to not seeking excellence. And Joel and I will talk about that right after these messages. 20 till. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out when you get a chance. Use them to your advantage, and no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come on in, hang out with us, and take all of our stuff and use it to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. One of the things you'll find there is some of the wisdom that Joel Barker has deposited with us in our past interviews, and as he is doing right now in the current interview. Joel is the author of Five Regions of the Future. It's the brand new book he co-authored with Scott Erickson, Preparing Your Business for Tomorrow's Technology Revolution. We're going to talk a little bit about technology in a minute, but right now we're talking about the education system. Joel, the hammer that I said we were going to drop on them is something you may not agree with me on, but I think the tenure structure in the United States that basically it's a de facto way of not seeking excellence, in my opinion. I mean, if we can't get rid of a teacher who's not doing a good job, then what we've done is we failed to seek excellence.
Well, I taught in the public school and private schools before I became a consultant, Jim, and I can tell you that I saw two things in both schools. I saw great teachers for whom tenure was irrelevant.
Right.
They didn't care whether they had it or not because they loved to teach, okay? And that was both in the public and the private school.
Yep.
And I saw really horrible teachers hanging on both places, even though in the private school there was no tenure. So you can hang on even though you're not a great teacher.
What are we going to do to get these people to turn loose?
Well, I think two things, and we ought to be really serious about this for the 21st century. Number one, we ought to raise the salaries of teachers substantially.
I agree.
The top 5% say, I want to be there. If you got the top 5% showing up to teach, you don't have to worry about anything else after that because you've got excellence built into them.
Right.
The second thing is, and I saw this at my private school, Tom Reed was a headmaster in St. Paul Academy and Summit School where I taught for 5 years. And Tom, when we had a bad teacher, you'd call him in. And by the way, he asked the students to tell him who were the good teachers and who weren't. So the students came in, and he would interview them for an hour, literally saying, how about this, how about that, do they do this well? Well, if he found a teacher that was lacking in the students' eyes, then he honestly believed these students wanted a great education, so
right.
Who better to make the judgments, right?
Right.
He would call him in and then double-check his information, talk to other teachers to say, do you think that's happening? Then he would say, here's what we need to do. We need to send you back to school. And he would pay their way back to school to improve. But by the way, if they didn't improve or if they said, I don't want to do it, then he said, I'm going to give you a salary for 1 year, and you need to go find another job.
But now you know that bad teachers who people are trying to get rid of are fighting or are holding on to their tenure tooth and nail.
Yeah, I do. And part of it is because they've put in the time, which is different than work. They put in the time, and they have a retirement that they'd like to have. I'd fight like they would too, give them the structure.
You know something else, though, Joel? I just believe, and I hate to sound cynical, But I believe, just like we have the politicians that we want, that we've asked for, I think we've got the education system that we want and that we've asked for. Because if you know what, as Americans, if we wanted more, we'd get it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You need to look at where the money goes, and you see more and more money going to administration, and less in terms of proportion of the running, and less going to the teachers.
Yeah.
And that says somehow or another we've built a system so complex that it takes extreme costs to administrate. That's not productive. And so I think that one of the things we should be looking forward to in the next 10 years is how do we improve the productivity of our school systems so that the bucks get to where they belong, and that is to the student through the teacher. By the way,
you know,
great
Joe,
administrators make all the difference.
One of the things that I think is I think we're losing the capital. America's losing some of its capital in global competitiveness, and we've rested all these years now. We've rested on the fact that we were number one, we had the largest economy, you know, we had the strongest economy, we had the you know the biggest this and that, and it's sort of an arrogance that we've been resting on. I think it wouldn't hurt for America to be a little bit afraid of losing that competitiveness, which I think we are. On many levels, if we were a little bit afraid of that, if that mattered to us, we might take some action.
Well, I just saw a headline yesterday. I've not read the article, but the headline said 8 out of 10 of the richest people in the world are not Americans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Think about 20 years ago. Think about now. Now, one side of it says, "Well, there's globalization. Let's applaud it." But if you look at the other side of it, is it's what you're talking about. We're losing our edge because we're literally coasting. And I think, especially in education, you know, if I could make three things happen, I'd start school no earlier than 9 o'clock in the morning because kids don't even get their engines revved till 9. I would change sports from afternoon to evening. I would have the kids spend from 3 to 5 every afternoon on their homework, so when they went home, they were done with school for the day. And then if they wanted to do sports, they could make a choice between television and sports, not homework and sports.
That's not a bad idea.
And the last thing I would do is I'd lengthen the school year. We need to be going to school 225
days
a year.
Well, a lot of other countries have done that. Our school system, our school year is based on an agrarian economy,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is. It's crazy. And you forget over those 3 months. You know,
yeah.
I can tell you this. The school that we help support, my wife and I help support in Chattanooga, took kids who were 85% free breakfast and lunch. That became one of the top 10 schools in all of Tennessee in 2 years.
Wow.
And we did it the right way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he's paid his dues, folks. He knows of which he speaks when he makes these recommendations. He's put his money where his mouth is, and that's what we like about Joel Barker, and we expect nothing less from him. The book is called 5 Regions of the Future. That's a brand new book. We come back, guess what? We're going to talk about something I think we may have never talked about on this show. Dirt. Stay with us.
Play in the park. They don't know.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend and one of my heroes, Joel Barker, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm so excited about having him as a member of our Brain Trust. Joel, thank you for the time you spend with us and for the insights that you give us. We really appreciate it.
My delight.
Give us your website. Tell us how we can find your books.
Amazon.com is the only place that 5 Regions of the Future is now being sold. So
okay.
Just go to Amazon and they'll take care of you. The Paradigm book, which, by the way, I'm really proud that it's continuously in print since 1989.
Congratulations.
And in 20 languages.
I'm not the least bit surprised.
Well, I appreciate what you said about it because I think it really is a kind of classic because it does explain why good thinking humans miss big changes because they can't see past their paradigms.
Ladies and gentlemen, go get that paperback book. It changed my life in 1990, I think it was, when I first read it. It will change yours in 2007, I promise. And he hasn't changed a word since 89. Remember, folks, he's a futurist, so he knew what we were going to be doing by now. So he already knew all that. Joel, is there a website you'd like to give us?
Right now, no, because I'm kind of cleaning some things up. So
okay.
Next time I'm on, I should have a cleaner
website. All
right,
we'll be looking forward to that. All right, folks, we've talked about everything under the sun on this show in the last 10 years. But I don't think we've ever talked about dirt. And Joe, you want to talk about dirt?
Yeah, I do. And this is, by the way, why Jim has a futurist on, because he gets these crazy topics. I look for ideas, information, innovations that basically say there's a new ball game. And I ran into a phrase. I'm going to give it to you here, but I'm also going to send you an email. I'm going to send to Jim a site you can go read about this and follow up on yourself. But there's a little story behind it. There's a story about, like, back in the 1500s, the Spanish visited Brazil, what was then just the Amazon region.
Right.
And one of the Spaniards wrote about this amazing civilization that was there. And about 100 years later, 200 years later, people were kind of back in there looking, there's no civilization, there's no, and they said they thought it was a myth. Now, in the last 20 years, it looks like it's not a myth. It looks like it's real, that there was a major civilization in the Amazon, and they invented a kind of dirt. Now, I want you to hear that word. They invented a kind of dirt. It's called Terra Preta, T-E-R-R-A-P-R-E-T-A. And so if you Google Terra Preta, it'll bring up all this stuff. But Terra Preta, some of you may have heard of slash and burn. It's basically
yes.
a way of clearing the forest.
You
knock down the wood, you burn it.
For agriculture.
You have the ash, and the ash either blows away or blends into the dirt, goes away.
Mm-hmm.
The Amazonians developed a thing called slash and smolder, in which they took the same organic material, but they did not let it burn. They covered it up so it was choking with oxygen, and so it smoldered. And the end result is a rich black dirt that has kept its fertility for 1,000 years.
Wow.
Now just think about that. On top of that, when you do the slash and smolder, you sequester 50% of the carbon that would have gone
into the atmosphere.
Exactly. Is now trapped in this soil for 1,000 years.
Wow.
Bacteria love it, so the bacteria get into this soil and make it even richer and
produce
more
nitrogen.
Exciting.
They produce nitrogen.
It. Yeah. And so all of a sudden we have this 1,000-year-old invention coming back to say to us in the 21st century, give me your bad soil, use this process, and we can produce rich soil even as we are sequestering carbon.
Well, we've known for years that ash, just ash, you know, the old-fashioned way, is good soil, becomes good soil.
Except
we've known
it loses its fertility really fast, Jim.
But now it becomes better. Wow. So what? I got a minute. What's the benefit of this knowledge?
Okay, number one, for any place in the world where we have infertile soils and bad soils, we can now convert it and make it rich, long-lasting, very powerful and productive soil. What a deal. You think about the third world just struggling.
I got a front yard that could use some of that.
You probably could. In all honesty, they're talking about could we manufacture it, actually make this soil using the smolder technique. You're capturing the carbon, so you're actually helping this climate.
Is this like a hot way of creating humus, like peat or something like that?
Think about it as humus times 10.
Yeah.
Think about it as better.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, among the most important properties are high nutrient concentrations, especially calcium and phosphorus. Wow.
You heard it here first, folks. No, you don't get this kind of stuff on anybody else's show. Only on the Small Business Advocate Show. Hey, Joel, thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Joel Barker, ladies and gentlemen. The new book is called 5 Regions of the Future, available at Amazon, but go find Paradigms. It will change your life. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and I'm reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.